Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, May 21st, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. In studio with me is Daniel Hansen, and we are all here to chat with August Berkshire regarding the brochure, 13 Reasons Why God Belief is Dying. August is a member of the Board of Minnesota Atheists and an atheist activist for over 30 years. He's written several pamphlets, including the one we're discussing today. Please note, Dan and I will be asking questions on this brochure drawn from our own experiences and knowledge and may even play a bit of God's advocate. But this is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. The phone number is live, and you can always email us on tweet whenever we're live or whenever you're listening to this podcast. Daniel, August, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thanks. Good morning.
Oh, thanks, Hertzy. And one correction, as I was working on this overnight, I discovered a 14th reason. So we're up to 14 reasons that God belief is dying.
Good.
Awesome.
A lot of surveys have shown that more and more people identify as non-religious, if not outright atheist. And in fact, a somewhat controversial poll came out recently saying that atheists are really much more numerous, because even though a lot of people won't use the word, when you dig in to what their worldview is, it is an atheistic worldview. Mm-hmm. So atheism is increasing. I've seen it over my lifetime. I'm 57 now. You two, I think, are younger than me, but maybe you've even seen it in your lifetimes.
Certainly, yeah.
And so, what were you going to say?
Yes, sorry. I got slightly distracted by a shiny object.
Oh, okay. The youngster among us.
The youngster with ADD, thank you.
So I thought of, why is it decreasing? There were some obvious reasons, and I just, I like making pamphlets and I like making lists. So I came up with this list of now 14 reasons that I think God belief is dying.
Yeah, I think I know that it seems like people are much more open about it. I think there's still, like you said, a real problem with people not wanting to use that term. But it certainly seems like it's more prevalent now.
Yeah, and it's definitely among the younger generation, I think, with people, they seem to be more accepting of just the other in general. They grew up with a lot of the hatred towards the LGBT community, and, those of us who grew up with the idea that this wasn't a bad thing were like, well, if this isn't a bad thing, then there's got to be other things that aren't bad things. So it just kind of blossoms from there.
Well,
not speaking for all young people.
The first thing that came to mind when I started my list is number one, God of the gaps. That God is never an answer because it provides us with no information. We don't know what a God is nor how a God accomplishes anything. God's just a more complicated question and is a placeholder word for the unknown. And it's science that supplies the real answers. So we hear this a lot growing up. God is the answer. Mm-hmm. And you start digging into this. Well, what is God? Well, God is spirit. What is spirit? We don't know what spirit is. We know what spirit isn't. It's not matter and energy is in a material world. But we don't know what it actually is. Okay, so we don't know what God is. How does God do anything? What mechanism does it use? And we don't know. We can say magic, but we don't know what magic is. So we ask the question, where did the universe come from? Assuming it had a beginning. Where did it come from? And some people will say God. Okay, what is God? We don't know. Okay, how did God create the universe from nothing? We don't know. So we're no smarter than we were a second ago. God did not answer the question.
Well, I think for me, the way I always bring this back to people is like, if they say, well, science can't explain this, so it must be this, is that, if you break that whole sentence logic down, it's saying, I don't have an answer for this, so I have an answer for this.
Right.
Which seems ridiculous to me.
They think that because something is unknown, God gets it by default.
Right.
And that's just God filling in the gap of the unknown. No, God does not get it for free. God has to prove itself as much as science does, or
right.
else it just remains unknown.
Unknown, which is okay. There are things we don't know and possibly things we'll never know. But
I always answer the question, well, how do you know, the beginning of the universe? I'm like, okay, we don't know the beginning of the universe yet. Mm-hmm. That is something that I am sure there are people who are working on and looking at it, and I'm very sure we'll have an answer. May not be in my lifetime, but eventually we might have that answer.
And the latter part of my point is that God is a more complicated question. Not only does God not answer the question at hand, it raises more complex questions. Where does this God come from? How can you have a consciousness without a physical component? How can you create something from nothing? How can you monitor every atom in the universe? So this God is much more complex than the question it's trying to answer, which it doesn't even answer in the first place. So I think this is, as people realize this, that God is not an answer, this is the first reason that God belief is dying. Mm-hmm.
So what's number two?
Interfaith contact. Mm-hmm. Meeting other people who believe as fervently as you do, but in a different religion. If one religion were objectively true, wouldn't everyone believe it the same way that the vast majority of scientists accept evolution? So just meeting other people, and I think, and I've heard this too, from Christians who come from a small town, and this is often how it happens. You're in a small town, it's very Christian. You move to the big city, you meet people of other faiths. Or you go from high school to the university, you meet people of other faiths. So you're a devout Christian, and then you meet a devout Muslim. And they're a nice person, you're a nice person, they're a nice person, but they believe very fervently in their God, and they've got all their reasons, and you've got all your reasons.
They have the same anecdotal evidence. there was a miracle, and it could only have been attributable to Allah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, out of morbid curiosity, is there like a better age group that this happens with? Like, what, if you could say like that, like this is the good age group that would exposing them to this kind of information.
I think that it's better for young people because they're not so invested in their religion that they can't change. They're changing a lot of things already about their lives in their late teens, or early 20s. I think a phenomenon occurs that if you've believed in something your whole life, let's say, 40, 50, 60 years, you're so invested in it, it can be hard to change. Not that atheists aren't created in those age groups too, but I think you hold on to it less maybe when you're young because you're questioning so many things when you're young.
So another question is, how about exposure to stories of other people's religions? Does that help crack anything? Have you heard of that?
What do you mean by stories?
So I think we discussed this a little bit earlier, but I grew up reading Greek legends and myths when I was growing up at a very, very young age. And to me, that's something that cracked it because it was like, well, these stories are so much more interesting than the Bible.
Yeah, that's exposure to faith. And then, so you're believing your Christianity and they're believing their Islam. And then you, as you say, realize people have believed in all kinds of gods over the years. And what's the common thread? Indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
The people believed in the Greek gods because that's what they were taught, Islam, Christianity, whatever.
So here's an interesting twist on that. What about fictional faiths, like those found in books, movies, games? Dan, I know you can think of a couple of D&D gods off the top of your head.
Right, but I'm also thinking of like other like made-up mythologies like Star Wars and things like that, how they can be created out of whole cloth and can actually, I mean, isn't Jedi an actual like religious thing now in England or not?
It is technically a religion. I don't know how religious specifically they are. I think it's more kind of like some of the more common Buddhism where it's more like a philosophy.
Like dudism.
Yeah, like dudism. Actually, that's probably even better. I don't think they're very strict about, but then again, I haven't looked into it too much.
I mean, if it's of course, all religions are fictional, but if you realize it's fictional, that's fine. I mean, you can do role playing and have all kinds of fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not against imagination.
Oh, I never thought that. I was just thinking that that these fictional faiths, like with D&D, playing a paladin who prays to this fictional god, is that anything you've heard about that, kind of starting to crack the person's belief structure and go, oh, wait a minute.
That's a good point. I haven't thought of it because I don't play those games, but I think you're right. It just shows how worlds can be made up.
Cool.
Next one?
Okay.
Yeah.
Physical harm. People look around and see their religion can lead to physical harm, such as holy wars, suicide bombings, beheading, sexual abuse of children, prohibitions against life-saving medical treatments, discrimination and violence against women and sexual minorities. So they see that these holy books are leading to bad physical things. Of course, one of the ultimate ones was 9/11.
Right.
So they say, how can something so supposedly good as this religion have verses that command people to do bad things or that people can take in bad ways? You know, you would think a perfect God of the universe could have made his message really clear, just love one another, do good, that kind of stuff. But
right.
No, you get all this really obviously human, violent stuff in these scriptures and in their actions.
I think that's a really strong attack on the idea of faith itself, because, like you said, the 9/11 hijackers had perfect faith. If we go with this idea, it's like, oh, faith is always a good thing. Faith is wonderful. It's like, well, but it can't be if it's leading to, like, mass murder.
I mean, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And if these
right.
fruits are pretty rotten.
All right. Thank you, guys. We're going to take a quick break, but please stay with us for the break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with our guest, August Berkshire. I'm Hertzie Hertz here with Daniel Hansen, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, here with Daniel Hansen. Today's guest is August Berkshire, speaking about his pamphlet, 13 Reasons, well now 14 Reasons, Why God Belief is Dying. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever podcast listener you choose. As for the here and now, if you like to get involved in the conversation with August this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. We do have a couple of announcements here. Our donors of the week this week are Nancy and August. Thank you,
Yay!
August. who gave through Atheist Talk at the link at givemn.org. Thank you, and thank you to all of our wonderful donors. We do have a couple events to highlight this month. So let's see, we have the radio show meeting for anyone who's interested in volunteering. This will be on May 23rd at Ginkgo's Coffee Shop. The details can be found at on the meetup site. We have the May public meeting later today, where we'll be showing A Better Life, which, August, I think you stated you got a sneak peek at earlier or last month.
Yeah, I watched it. It's a really great movie about positive atheists. It interviews about 20 or so atheists, some well-known, some not well-known.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah. It's at 2 o'clock at Southdale.
Perfect. All right. Then we also have the Saints game.
Southdale Library, sorry.
Okay. but we have the Saints game on August 12th. And from what I hear, tickets are going fast. So make sure you get those.
I still got to get mine.
Me too.
I know.
And the first pitch, for those who are members of Minnesota Atheists or FFRF members, there's a drawing for this.
I think we should get them, two of them, if we're both.
I actually, you do.
Do we?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Membership. Yep.
Oh, yes. You can check out the rules and the entry form on mnatheist.org. And then we also have the Pride Parade coming up, which I believe is June 24th.
Sunday.
You can go to MN. Yeah. You can go to the website too.
Go to the meetup and such, and you'll find those. All right. So thank you very much for letting me get that. August, Dan, welcome back.
Thanks.
Well, moving right along to the next reason that God belief is dying, intolerance. And you brought this up yourself, Hersey, at the top of the show. Religious people in their creeds are often anti-woman, anti-gay, and anti-anyone who doesn't believe in the same religion they do. And a lot of people rebel against this unfairness and judgmentalism. and especially, as you said, young people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that the gay issue is driving a lot of people away from religion.
I think the anti-women one as well. You know, there's a lot of us who've grown up with Roe versus Wade and the idea that birth control is something that we have easy access to, and then to hear that people want to take it away for really...
For their own religious reasons.
Yeah, for their own...
Right.
And basically because they want to punish women. You know, it's kind of like, no. Mm-hmm. No, not going to happen.
Well, I think the intolerance part is, you know, it's strong because if you're a believer, if you're a theist, then the stakes are higher than you know, you might normally think, because we're talking about people who believe in a heaven and a hell, and they're, you know, the stakes could not be higher. And because of that, I think it overthrows some of the more normal empathy that we would have towards other people. And so that can lead to intolerance where normally people would not be intolerant.
Good point.
I have an odd question for you, kind of a, not quite devil's advocate, but have you ever seen an atheist stand up for any of these things?
Oh, all the time. You mean for gay rights, for women's rights?
Or for the against as well.
Oh, against? I mean, there are some anti-choice atheists. As a percentage, they're not that many, but they exist.
I think one thing that definitely clears it the air is that, you know, there's no doctrine. So it's like, yes, you can go with that idea, but we can disagree with you, and it's not.
And there are some male chauvinist pig atheists. hopefully not too many.
Yeah, well, we're still human.
Yeah.
I mean, right. just because we're very logical and make sense on one topic doesn't mean that we're the same on all topics, unfortunately.
That is true. That is
I mean,
very
atheism
true.
Just says you lack a belief in gods. It doesn't come with this baggage. People bring that baggage from wherever.
Right.
Whereas a lot of religions actually come with the anti-gay, anti-woman baggage as part of their religion.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And we can have a conversation, though, about it, even if we don't end up at the same place, because no one's just going to sit down and, as an atheist, and say, well, here's the law of the universe because, you know, my Bronze Age God said so. So, you know, it at least opens up avenues of discussion and possibility of being more tolerant.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Hypocrisy. When some religious people claim to believe in good things but then act badly, outsiders begin to wonder how useful that religion is. So, you know, especially I found some of the worst cases, the people who are proud of their Christianity often act the worst. It's not the humble Christians. They tend to not be too bad sometimes, but it's the ones that are so proud, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm so holy or whatever, and then they're just terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
They're so judgmental, they want to deprive people of rights.
It does bring up the no true Scotsman fallacy, which always makes me laugh. Because, you know, you have the person who does something bad, and then you have a whole bunch of people saying, well, he's not a true Christian. And
right.
Like,
right.
Well, except for that he is claiming to be a Christian. He's professed this numerous times. So what else is he?
You can't, yeah, because there's the basis, just like the basis of being an atheist is not believing in God. You know, I don't get to, like, say, well, that guy's really a horrible person, so he's not an atheist. You don't get to just say, well, this person isn't a Christian because they have terrible views on things. I mean, so, yeah, when they're hypocritical, you don't have an out. There's no escaping that.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if God is good and supposed to be filling these people with goodness, and yet they're acting terribly, it can cause a little crack in the armor there.
Sure, yeah.
Start mm-hmm. leading to disbelief. Well, the next one... is the internet. Arguments against God belief are more widespread than they have ever been before.
Dang you, Al Gore.
So, in the past, if you lived in a small town, your local library or school library, they'd either have no books about atheism, or any books they might have would be written by religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And now, with the internet, you can get arguments against religion, against God belief, wherever you are in the world, pretty much.
Right, right. There are people I've heard on other shows and stuff talk about growing up Mormon and not actually realizing that there were people that weren't Mormon, you know, until they had access to, like, the internet. And they're like, wait a second, there's an entire world out there of other beliefs, and I had no idea Joseph Smith, blah, 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 or, you know, So,
I remember going through that, but when I went through that, I was like six and I was in public school in the middle of St. Paul.
That's because you're like 12, right? So,
yeah. Oh.
But.
And this is why, since young people use the internet more, it's not surprising that they're becoming atheistic in a higher proportion. Also, I think there's a great deal of atheism in Muslim countries, the ones that are able to access the internet. They don't dare say that they're atheists. They could even be killed over saying it. But people think that Muslims are going to take over the world. I think the young Muslims, there's more atheism there than a lot of people realize because of the internet.
All right. Well, we'll return.
Access to information.
We'll return to our guest at August Berkshire right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzie Hertz here with Daniel Hansen, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, in studio today with Daniel Hansen, and we're having what I would classify as a fascinating conversation with August Berkshire. Before we continue with this conversation, which is our final segment with August, there's a bit of housekeeping I have to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheist, the Humanist of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider revisiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. The radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. If you keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast, you help keep the Atheist Talk on the air in podcast form. Ugh. Personally, I use this show to get a variety of viewpoints, be they religious or otherwise. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brett Michaels Davis and is used with permission. As always, check out Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on all around the Twin Cities and in our outlying suburbs. If you want to get involved, check out the website and sign up for the Atheist Weekly email. AWE will tell you when the Godless Gamers meet, will help you find agnostic AA groups, or the local book club, and even let you know what speakers the Minnesota Atheists have lined up. It's a great way to stay connected to the community. If you enjoy the show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your support helps us serve you. With all of this relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to the conversation with August Berkshire.
Okay, well, moving along. Another reason God beliefs are dying are the contradictions often found in religion and religious claims, such as the problem of evil. Mm-hmm. If God's all-powerful and all-good, why does evil exist? The problem of silence. If God is all-powerful and wants me to know him, he could manifest himself in a way that would be apparent.
He would know what it would take for you to believe.
I've actually used that first one in conversations with people. Like, if he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, then why do we have this?
So I think we'll do, in the future, a radio show all about the problems of religion and God belief, because I have more, but due to time, I won't.
Right.
These two are two of the big ones.
Yeah, the cognitive dissonance is a difficult place to be. It's uncomfortable, and I can see why that would be something that would lead people away.
Okay, next, explanation. Evolution and psychology offer good explanations as to why we create gods and maintain belief in them. And so once you start learning about the power of indoctrination and you meet people of other faiths that are indoctrinated, you realize what a powerful force indoctrination is. And that starts to become in your mind maybe a more likely explanation as to why you believe than the fact that the religion might actually be true.
It does take some self-awareness, though, of your own bias.
Mm-hmm. But when you see the bias in other people, it might be more likely to awaken it in yourself, the observation of it. Another is hyperactive agency detection, which is the tendency of humans to look for agencies behind phenomena in nature. So thunder god, sky god, the god of the river. We're programmed to look for agents because it has survival value.
Right.
And this looking for agency can become hyperactive, and we start imagining invisible agents.
Right. Yeah. As a young child or et cetera, it's not in your best benefit necessarily to believe that everything's random, because that could lead you to not understand consequences.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're programmed to look for patterns.
Right.
And look for agents. And when we realize we have that bias, we can say, oh, well, maybe God's one of these made-up agents that we're looking for. It's not really there. The next reason that I think God belief is dying is there's less fear of sickness and death. As societies prosper, they tend to offer better social safety nets to their citizens, and people feel more secure, have better medical treatment, and live longer. And people feel less of a need to pray to a God when they're ill, and they feel less sadness over the end of their lives if they've lived a long, fulfilled life. I know that, like, when I was 25, and I thought, oh, if I died now, I'd feel, or if, let's say I got a terminal illness, I'd feel really cheated. I don't know who I'd be cheated by, but whatever. I'd feel unjust, I've hardly begun my life. I have all these ambitions. Now at 57, I've had a chance. I've had a pretty good life. I've done a lot of things I wanted to do. Still don't want to die, but realize that historically, 57 is a pretty good age to reach, and I'm still in good health, and I wouldn't feel like, oh, I need to go somewhere else to keep on living. I've had a good life. I don't need to go to a heaven to keep on living. So there's less of that. And if I get sick, of course, there's hospitals I can go to. I don't have to pray.
I know for me, actually, there's an odd comfort in the chaos, because you know that nothing is planned. Nothing. There's no fate. There's no, the universe is deciding for you. And so there's almost a comfort knowing that because this isn't planned and this is just the randomness of the universe coming at this point, it's a little comforting. It's a little oddly comforting.
In that, like, I don't worry about, am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Am I right with some imaginary being or whatever? It's just like, well, that's just what it is.
We'll have to go to the next one. But.
Well, it's not a coincidence, I don't think, that the countries with the best social safety nets also have the least God belief. Western Europe, Canada, Japan. I don't think that's a coincidence. Okay, the next one is competition, science. And this kind of overlaps with some of the others. Science supplies better physical answers, and social safety nets provide better emotional and physical security than God's do. So religion is now competing against science for the answers to the physical universe, and it's losing that competition. And religion is competing against social safety nets to provide emotional comfort. And it can still provide some emotional comfort, but it's the social safety nets that are providing a lot of security that religion used to provide. So religion is becoming obsolete.
Granted, I mean, some of those social safety nets now seem in slight peril, so we'll have to see how that goes.
You almost wonder if the religious right who's in charge and is destroying the social safety nets is doing it on purpose to drive people back to religion.
You know, I wish I could remember who it was. There was a Republican lawmaker within the last 2 weeks that came out and said that exactly. I mean, stated that, said that the more people get sick, the more opportunity that they have to go ahead and witness to them and get them over into their religion.
Mm. And then, of course, the more people who are terminally ill.
I wish I could remember who it was. It was amazing.
And then, of course, the people who are losing people who are sick and such, they're fair game, too.
Okay. Next, we have kindness and cooperation. Our evolution as a social species provides a motive for us to be kind to each other and to cooperate with one another, and God belief is not necessary for this. So the answer to the question, how can we be good without God, is becoming more and more obvious. We're seeing people being good without a God, and the motivation to be good is not God's going to punish you or reward you. The motivation is cooperation. Mm-hmm. It's just a simple biological reason to be good. And we've even seen morality in other animals. So we see how cooperation, kindness evolves. And there are a lot of books on this. We could do whole shows on just that as well.
For me personally, as I came to be an atheist, I felt more and more like I needed to do more, because I was like, well, nobody's minding the store. that guy that's in prison incorrectly, it doesn't help to pray. No God's going to come for him. So if I want something done, then I need to step forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For me, it's I've been on the receiving end of some of that kindness and cooperation, and just the community that we've built has been absolutely amazing, and I am very, very grateful for it.
Okay, next we have less indoctrination. Some religious parents get too busy to take care of children, to take their children to church or religious instruction, and other parents who aren't religious themselves don't pass it on to their children. So the indoctrination is not getting passed on, and it has a snowball effect because indoctrination is the main way that religion gets passed on. It doesn't get passed on through any sort of evidence. And so if the children aren't being indoctrinated, then they're not going to indoctrinate their kids. And so one thing leads to another, and you get less religion.
Do you think that's also because there's more options? I mean, there's a lot more things to do, with more leisure time, supposedly. Doesn't feel like it some days. But, et cetera. Or it's like there's a lot more things to do on a Sunday morning now than there, were at one point. Is that a
Well, that's, leisure competition. But also I think people are busier because, back in the old days, you could have a stay-at-home parent. And that parent could take the kid to religious things or...
Oh, fair point.
Study. But, I mean, now both parents are working and the weekend is time to get your chores done.
Right.
One parent's not there during the week to do the grocery shopping.
Mm, that's a good point.
Next, we have indifference and irrelevance. People, especially young people, just don't see how unsubstantiated stories of invisible beings apply to their lives. They're busy with school, jobs, love life, other interests. They just, religion just doesn't apply. They're apatheists. They don't really, care.
Right.
I don't see any relevance.
I think there's a large population who really do. Like, whenever I bring up that term to someone who's like an atheist, but they don't really want to say it, they love the term apatheist. And I'm like, yes, but you are still an atheist. Eventually, you're going to have to put the label on.
Well, you don't have to, but you know what? Living an authentic life, there's a lot to be said for that too. And going ahead and saying, you know what? I really don't believe this.
Yeah. For them though, it's so much of the I just don't care, and I'm like, I get that you don't care, but you're still not necessarily. I mean, helping us by just being out would
But
be
there
nice.
Are people out there that do care, and they aren't necessarily on the right side of things. So,
exactly.
So you need to do something. It's like not voting because it's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, well, then you're letting other people decide. Is that what you want?
Well, I mean, I do think there are some true apatheists that just haven't thought about it, just hasn't entered their sphere, and they haven't thought about it. Well, we come to the final reason that I think that God belief is dying, and it's that it's not true. Gods probably don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have nothing behind the story, there's no reality there, it's hard to keep propping it up year after year, decade after decade. There's a philosopher named Dallas B. McCown who said, the invisible and the non-existent look very much alike.
Right.
One of my favorite. And it's also been said that theology is a subject without an object.
Mm. Yeah. I mean that really is kind of the crux. I mean you've got something that is not supported by facts. That wears over time. And you can change, and they do, religions. I mean, you look at what each religion says is true 200 years ago or 400 years ago. They change with time because they have to. But man, it's slow.
Yeah, and as Herzi pointed out earlier, you have all these competing mythologies that are far more interesting.
Norse mythology is fascinating. Yeah,
but the role-playing games, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed this show. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Hello. Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, May 21st, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. It's coming about time where lots of folks are graduating from school. We've got lots of commencements coming up. I'm sure that folks listening right now have those coming up in their own families or within their friend groups, or you yourself are graduating. And if you are, congratulations. But I want to talk just for a second about something that I think a lot of graduates or soon-to-be graduates and families experience, and that is prayer at your local graduation. This is something that every time during this, every year about this time, we run into where folks have questions about, you know, what is allowed, what isn't allowed at these school events. So number one, to be clear, schools are not allowed to invite a religious leader or have a member of the faculty deliver a prayer at all, period, and end of discussion. If, you know, your attendance is required at a school event, it certainly isn't allowed. And even if it's an optional thing, even if you don't have to attend graduation, they're still not allowed to do it because it's a captive audience. You're not allowed to use that time to pray or to have prayers directed at students by administrators or by people invited by the administration. One of the challenging parts of this is if it's a student, somebody who is invited to speak and sort of allowed to do whatever they want. If the schools engage in any sort of censorship or viewpoint discrimination by either saying, you know, hey, you can't talk about religion or, you know, demanding to pre-clear the things that are said, they potentially run afoul of other free speech considerations. But if they allow students to pray, the simple fact that it's a student doing the praying doesn't necessarily resolve the constitutional problem at hand. And so this is something that we had a couple of issues this last week. I don't want to go too much into specifics because they're all sort of ongoing. But we had one at an eighth grade school. We had one at a high school. We've had a couple of people contact us with questions. And we actually had a group of students who stood up after their superintendent credited Jesus as the source of success for all these students. He quoted the Bible. He did all this stuff, and he's the superintendent. The students at Willard High School demanded an apology, and you know that's a pretty big deal. That's not nothing. You know, we're talking about people in a small town who are standing up for their rights. These students knew their rights. They contacted the media. They contacted us. They've contacted the ACLU. They did everything right here, following up with the school to ensure that this doesn't happen again for future students. So, you know, I want to make sure people know what their rights are. If you're sitting at graduation or if you're at a graduation rehearsal and this sort of thing seems to be happening, take note of it. Let us know. Contact legal@atheists.org. Call our office. However, you know, best works for you to get in touch with us, and we'll follow up, and we'll keep you anonymous until you're ready to come forward, if you are, or you know, if we proceed any further with any sort of legal consideration. So, bravo to these students. We were contacted by them after the fact, but the thing that the superintendent in this case, and it was Superintendent Kent Medlin, he said that, again, that the students had to thank his savior for their successes. Well, no, come on. They worked hard. It really is a slap in the face to these students to say that all of their success is based on his particular religious views. And so, you know, he tries to excuse it by saying that over the years he'd always included a small prayer. It doesn't matter if it's a small prayer. It's still unconstitutional, and knock it off. So again, if you're a student, if you know a student, if you're attending any of these commencements and you happen across something like this, please let us know. Again, the email for that is legal@atheists.org. Keep track of, you know, what's going on, and we'll be more than happy to follow up and see where it goes from there. No student should have to feel like you know, they're being ostracized or like they're being picked on or like they're not fully a part of the community and fully a part of the school at a time like graduation. Simply staying neutral by not talking about religious stuff at graduation, if you're an administrator, that isn't persecution. That's neutrality. If an administrator got up there and said, well, because there's no God, you know, the students did everything themselves, that would be a problem too. And that's not what we're asking people to say. What we're saying is be neutral. And just because not every public event is a, you know, constant acknowledgement of your religion doesn't mean that your religion is under attack. So we need to dispense with that notion that comes from the religious right. The last thing that I want to touch on before I run out of time this week is we have our national convention coming up in North Charleston, South Carolina, and that is August 19th to the 21st, which is the weekend before the total solar eclipse that is crossing the United States. You can go onto our website, atheists.org/convention2017, for more information. We've just announced a bunch of new speakers. We have a really fantastic and diverse group of folks who are going to be speaking at our convention. You really want to check it out. We have people who have been involved in NASA. We have atheist leaders. We have scientists. We have comedians. We have all sorts of different folks. This is really one that you're not going to want to miss because the eclipse is the first one to cross the continental United States in something like 40 years. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, or at least a once-in-a-generation event that I hope people will be able to check out. And we're going to have a great time. All of our conventions are a ton of fun. So lots of news there. So again, that URL is atheists.org/convention2017. I know that hotel rooms are rapidly selling out, so if you're wanting to come, make sure you book your hotel right now. We're actually looking at securing an overflow hotel because we do anticipate the hotel selling out where we are booked. So we've got, again, a great lineup of speakers. Check that out and get registered for the convention right away to make sure that you're able to attend. That is, unfortunately, all the time I have for this week. As always, I want to thank you for listening. For more information about some of the things that we're working on, including information about the convention, like I mentioned, as well as our legal work, please visit www.atheists.org. We also, I want to remind everyone, have a match going on that we're just about ready to wrap up because we've almost finished it, where monthly donors, if you join as a monthly member, making modest monthly contributions rather than just doing it once a year, spread out your giving over the course of the year. We actually are going to match the yearly total of your giving one-to-one. So we'll double your impact. You don't have to do anything except sign up as a monthly donor. So I hope you'll consider that. And if you joined us at the Reason Rally this last year, your free membership is about to expire, so make sure you renew that. But that's all the time I have for this week. So thank you, as always, for joining us. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.